We cannot let our ancestors be unburied like animals. It's a question of dignity, a question of justice. Jews are first of all human beings, and they are unburied on places where, which is in the middle of Europe. So the first thing is a duty to these people. Otherwise, how we will face to these people in heaven to say we didn't take care of you?
When Nazis invaded the Soviet Union in 1941, mobile killing units, known as Einsatzgruppen, began moving from town to town, rounding up Jews for extermination. Typically, victims would be forced to dig their own mass graves. They were murdered with a single shot, and those who did not die right away were buried alive. Approximately 1.5 million Jews were killed this way. Their graves were never marked. In 2004, Father Patrick Dubois set out to locate the estimated 2,500 killing sites across the Ukraine. Traveling with interpreters, photographers, and a ballistic expert, Dubois seeks living witnesses to these crimes. He is motivated in part by the memory of his own grandfather, a French soldier who was deported to the Ukraine by the Nazis. Welcome to Voices on Antisemitism, a free podcast series of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. I'm Daniel Green. Every other week, we invite a guest to reflect about the many ways that antisemitism and hatred influence our world today. Here's President of Yihad in Unum, Father Patrick Dubois.
I estimate the number of mass graves in Ukraine at minimum 2,500. We found already 800 witnesses were present at executions, where their children, they were between 6 and 16, and they were recruited the morning, by example, to carry the Jews from the village to the mass grave, or to take the teeth, the gold teeth, before the killing, etc. So of course, now most of them are not alive, but I find at least minimum one or two per mass grave. And these people want absolutely to speak before to die. They don't understand why nobody came to answer them anything. Very frequently I ask to them, did anybody came? They told me no, nobody since 42. You are the first one. So I say, why do you speak? Because you are here, you ask to us. For them it's like a deposition. We are poor people, and they feel, I would say, fraternity with these Jews who have been killed in their village long time ago, and still 60 years after, are not buried. They very frequently they tell us when we leave, promise us, Father, that you will work to build a memorial for these people. You must know also that the mass graves are opened by the smugglers who are looking for gold. It's really an awful spectacle. So in my way, it's not acceptable that we build a modern world. We speak of Holocaust all over the world, but we don't bury the victims. We have a small team. It's half Ukrainian, half French. And when you arrive in a village, it's the first old person we meet. We ask her, were you here during the war? And after, most of the time, this person, she will bring us to a friend of her who was present at the execution. Otherwise, we go to see the priest, and the priest calls in the parish and asks who was present at the execution. Otherwise, we go to the main shop, and sometimes we pass 3 hours in the shop, and we wait for the old people come to buy food, and slowly by slowly, we find the witness. If we don't find the truth in one day, we come back. Sometimes we arrive in a village, and we say, oh, we are very sorry. The mommy who knew everything, she died last month, so we are 1 month late. So, and of course, it's more and more frequent. So we want absolutely to finish and to run until the witnesses are alive, because one day or another there will be no witnesses anymore. My motivation first is to establish the facts. Nobody knows how these people have been killed, and nobody knows where the corpses are. So it means that we are being completely thrown outside of humanity. But one day I had the intuition that the Nazi forgot their cartridge. So We tried on mass grave, and on this mass grave we found 5,700 cartridges, German cartridge. Each cartridge has its date and the brand of fabrication. There was no Soviet cartridge, so it was clear. It was not a battle. They were killing other people who had no gun. So the cartridges are one of the main proof, because we have to establish the proof of this genocide village after village. It's not a camp, it's a continent. You know, it's a huge crime. And imagine if we, in the actual context, with Ahmadinejad, we're speaking all over the world that there is no proof. So you must imagine that in our continent, sooner or late, people, I would not say that they think that Holocaust didn't exist, but they begin to think perhaps Jews exaggerate. Perhaps it's an exaggeration of the Jewish people. So my job also is to establish definitively the proof so that nobody can discuss and say it didn't happen.
Voices on Antisemitism is a free podcast series of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. Join us every other week to hear a new perspective on the continuing threat of antisemitism in our world today. To contribute your thoughts to our series, please call 888-70-USHMM or visit our website at www.ushmm.org. At that site, you can also listen to Voices on Genocide Prevention, a podcast series on contemporary genocide.